Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with Jen Rosenbaum. Jen is a woman, a wife, a mom, an entrepreneur, a grocery shopper, and a boudoir photographer who has dedicated herself to helping women discover their femininity and celebrate it shamelessly. Jen, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. And for the enjoyment, entertainment of our listeners, that was take three.
My bad.
And I'm still laughing.
But you said my last name beautifully this time.
So. Did I? I really had to practice that. I was so nervous.
Perfect.
Oh, Jen, I am so excited to have you on the show with us today. You are such an inspiration to women, to business owners, and to men, by the way. And it's just, this is going to be awesome.
Thanks for having me.
And, you know, I know a bit about you. And I've even talked to you on another podcast that I do with my buddy Skip Cohen over on the Photo Focus Network. And so I could not resist asking you to have you on my podcast. And, you know, let's get into it. So I know about you, but let's assume for the benefit of our listeners that they don't. So could you give us an overview of yourself and your background?
Yes, I am a boudoir photographer. And I am, in case you haven't heard in my accent already, located in New York. Born and raised, and I've been shooting boudoir for about 10 years. And from my boudoir photography business, which I still have, has been born this movement called Shamelessly Feminine. And it's really about women celebrating their femininity, their unique femininity, because let's face it, we all are feminine in different ways, celebrating it and using it to live the biggest life possible. So now I'm not only working with my camera to help empower women, but I'm also working without my camera to help empower women. It's the same message, same concept, same everything. And really what I'm hoping is that women will feel empowered. And, you know, I kind of hesitate using that word empowered because it's so overused, but I have yet to come up with a better word, but really I want women to feel like unleash their superpowers and know that they can really make their life their own and own it and live the fullest life possible.
I love it. And one thing that you mentioned, and I have to bring this up because I love it on the other podcast, on the Mind Your Own Business podcast, is you mentioned that as women, we are powerful and that we are equal with men, but we're different. And I love that distinction. And I'm not trying to alienate any male listeners, by the way, because we're going to have a ton of info that applies to everyone. But just that distinction, whereas women, we shouldn't be ashamed of who we are. We have qualities that are different from men, but equal.
Yeah, this isn't about putting down men. And I think that's unfortunately what a lot of people see feminism as, is like, oh, we're the better sex, we're stronger, we're this, we're that. It's not about putting down men. It's about each of us and not just men. I mean, in this day and age, there's like the lines are getting very blurry, right? Mm-hmm. So it's whoever you are. You need to be able to live that life fully and to embrace the things that make you who you are and realize, yes, there are certain things we need to be equal on. Like I want to get paid the same amount as a man does. Mm-hmm. And I want to have the same benefits a man does. And a man should want the same benefits a woman does. If a woman gets maternity leave, a man should have it too. I mean, I believe it goes both ways. However, what I say is like putting the feminine back in feminist. And what that means is that let's embrace who we are as women and use that for our power versus trying to be the same as men, because we're not the same as men. We never will be. And I don't really want to be honest with you. But I want like if I'm going for a job, somebody to hire me because I'm a woman and because I have certain qualifications as a woman. Like, you know, it's been looked down upon for years that women are emotional. Well, maybe that will make a better leader, right? Because, I mean, no offense to all the men out there, but they're not doing such a good job right now. You know, maybe that will make a better leader, or maybe that'll make a better CEO because she's sympathetic to the needs of women that are having babies and going through, you know, raising families. And maybe, you know, do you understand what I mean? If that makes sense. It's like, it you know, does. Let's embrace what makes us special. And still be treated equally as humans, but all people should embrace their own unique qualities. You and I are completely different. So why shouldn't we embrace our own unique qualities to get us where we want to be in life? It's not about, you know, people are just putting women in a box and putting men in a box. It's not so simple anymore. Everything is very blurry now.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've mentioned this on the show, but just prior to launching my own photography business professionally, I worked for a magazine. It was a motorcycle magazine, and I had a blast. But as you would expect, I was surrounded by men all the time. And my bosses were great, you know, and everyone I met was great. But I think maybe it was even pressure I put on myself. But, you know, we'd put on a motorcycle show, and I'm surrounded by all these guys, and I knew about bikes, and people didn't expect me to know about bikes. And so I felt this pressure to, you know, talk in my motorcycle voice and be, you know, to put my femininity aside. And so I think it requires a certain amount of courage, even, at least it has for me, you know, to fully be my own feminine, quirky self. And like you said, that translates over to business, even.
Leadership. I mean, in my mind, I immediately go to just think about how cool it would have been if you not only embraced your femininity, but expanded it, and you became like, you know, lipstick on two wheels, right? You know, like, or whatever. And you're marketing yourself as like, you know, super feminine, badass motorcycle rider, or, you know, whatever. The thing is, the more we become ourselves, the more we lean into that, the more unique we become, and the more marketable that is, really, at the end of the day.
For sure. And I really, really want to get into how our feminine superpowers can help us, how it translates over to a photography business specifically, because I mean, you mentioned the emotional connection. My goodness, that is absolutely essential with any type of client that we have. And so I'm curious, could you kind of give us a little more info on what you encountered when you started your photography business, or even your photography journey? Like, did you start off as a boudoir photographer, or how did you end up doing that?
I started shooting very small weddings to begin with, and I hated it. And a friend of mine asked me to do a boudoir shoot with her, and I absolutely loved it. And I came home and said to my husband, I want to be a boudoir photographer when I grow up. And he said, okay. And I changed my bedroom into a studio, and I immediately started a photography business. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no business doing it. I wasn't a very good photographer. I didn't even know that there was a photography industry. I just knew that I connected with women in a way that I had never connected before, and I needed more of that in my life. And I knew that other women needed more of it in their life too.
Very good. I love it. And so, I mean, making that connection with women, I guess, especially with boudoir photography, I guess when people hear the word boudoir, which I that's, there's another word I struggle with saying correctly.
Yeah, that most people do.
Oh, it's so hard. So we have a certain image in our mind. And I think for some people, maybe it would seem, what is it more difficult to make a connection? I mean, so your client is in a very vulnerable position. And making them feel comfortable and relaxed and confident, especially when they just met you, how do you do that? I mean, how did you handle that? Especially
I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that you can do during the session, but I really believe it starts before the session. And this is where most photographers fail at connection. They hide behind their camera. And I think that, you know, we always say, oh, well, there's a reason I'm behind the camera, because I'm shy, or I'm introverted, or, you know, I'm not photogenic, or whatever it might be. And, you know, I call BS on all of that. I think that you need to walk the walk. And if you're going to make connections with people, it immediately starts with when they land on your website or your social media, and they want to know who you are. So how many photographers, I'm sure you've experienced this, you go to their page, you don't even see a picture of them. You don't even know what they look like. You know, forget the fact that you know nothing about them. So I am very open about my life, my struggles, my photography, my mission. I show pictures of myself. I have pictures taken and I share them. I've had boudoir photos taken that I share. I talk about my struggles, which include things like infertility and breast cancer. I talk about life as a mom, life as a business owner, life as a struggling artist, in that, you know, the creativity aspect of it is difficult for me sometimes. I put myself out there to the point where people, when they come in for their shoot, they already know me. They feel like I'm their friend. And most photographers are really afraid to do that.
Yeah, I think there's something scary about opening yourself up, or about
there is, but then I'm expecting my clients to come in and take off their clothes. I mean, that's pretty scary too. Yes. So, you know, that's the thing about it. It's a solidarity. It's like, I'm in it with you. I'm not the photographer that's observing you and just from the outside. I'm in it with you. We're in this together. And that's really where the trust is built.
Well, you know, I love that you mentioned that from the very first point of contact, we need to be making that connection with our clients, including when they visit our website. One of my pet peeves is visiting a website and there's a black hole of death is what I call the contact form, when there's only a contact form and nothing else, like no picture. You don't know who you're talking to. No, if you have a contact form and, you know, a blurb about yourself, image of yourself, email address, phone number, that's fine. But just a contact form, how impersonal is that? And, you know, that does nothing towards inspiring confidence. I can't stress that enough. I mean, even I found, so I've never done a boudoir shoot, but I do business headshots and business portraits and photos of doctors and nurses. And it's from the very first moment that you meet a client. And for me, it's different from boudoir shoots. But just to show that this applies to everyone, when I'm shooting with the hospital, a lot of times the marketing director will line up the doctors and nurses and schedule them to come get their photo taken. They're not particularly excited to have their headshot taken. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they're meeting me for the first time. And so talk about having a short amount of time to make a connection. And the interaction that we do before a session, when they walk into the room and I shake their hand and start asking them about themselves and making jokes, a lot of times I only have 10 minutes with them. And the first 2 minutes are the most important before I even take any photos.
Yeah.
Because they don't know who the heck this chick is with the red and black dreadlocks. And, you know, like, who is this person? And, you know, you have to build that connection is what I'm saying. So whether you're a boudoir boudoir photographer or a business photographer or weddings or families, you have to be making that connection with your clients.
100%.
There's my rant right there. I really appreciate the fact that you mentioned that connection. I think a lot of photographers, I know I certainly did when I first started out, and I'm an introvert, so it took me a while to get the connection thing, but it's easy to focus on the camera, you know, and the fancy buttons on your camera and your equipment. But yeah, one of the most vital pieces of important piece or tools that we have is, you know, our ability to connect.
That's the thing. We use our camera to hide behind, but you need to start looking at your camera as a connection tool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, put it down more, actually, which sounds crazy. but really to make sure you take pictures when it counts and don't just take pictures to take pictures. You know, that connection is as much a part of the process as lighting and posing and composition. Because if you don't have that connection, you know, and this is mostly I'm talking about in portrait work. Like when you're shooting weddings, you're not really supposed to have that connection. You're supposed to be behind the scenes, right? You're supposed to blend and just capture what's happening. But when you're shooting portraits, you are what they're paying for. And you need to have a connection with them that way. I just don't see how it's possible. And by the way, I know I talk a lot, but I am definitely introverted. I am what I call an extroverted introvert. And so I know the moments where it's important to step up and go, okay, I need to put aside my introvertness and, you know, say, okay, I need to be present for this. When in a boudoir shoot, I take the lead. I'm the boss. Mm-hmm. It's my shoot. It's not the client's shoot. You know, as much as it is, it's not. She doesn't know what she's doing. Right. She doesn't know what she's wearing, how to pose, what to look at, how to be. I take charge of that. And if I'm not ready to step out from behind the camera and form that connection with her and take charge of the session, you cannot be successful at boudoir without doing that. I just don't think you can.
I agree. I was chatting with Peter Hurley some time ago, headshot photographer. And a fun thing he does to make sure and establish that connection with other photographers that he's teaching during his workshops, he mentioned that, and I don't know if he still does this, but at least in the past, he would sit down and play the role of the client. He has a background in acting anyway, so he'll play the role of the nervous client, and the photographers that he's teaching in his workshop will have to take the lead and be confident and build that connection and not just start snapping away, but actually interact with them. And I thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, lack of confidence is a big problem within photography. And I think being a creative professional is not for the meek. Let's just put it that way. I think, I don't know what I did to deserve this sometimes, but, you know, I think that it's more difficult for us than it is for other people in general. But it's also more important for us to just, you know, be confident and know that, like, all right, I got this, you know, no matter what the situation, I got this. I got the tools, both virtually and tangibly. You know, I have the skills, the communication, I have the equipment, and I got this. And that confidence, you know, I always say there has to be somebody in the room with confidence, and it sure as hell is not going to be your client. So,
and it helps to remember that. I mean, I've shot surgeons, and doctors and surgeons are some of the most confident people you ever meet. Mm-hmm. But I was stunned when I first started, because I'd sit them down and they would be as nervous as I was.
Right. Nobody knows how to be in front of a camera.
Right. They don't. I had one surgeon say, well, what should I do with my hands? And I'm mm-hmm. thinking, you work with your hands. And it mm-hmm. was like an aha moment. You know, yeah. It almost put me at ease knowing they were as nervous as I was, because I don't know. Yeah. It makes it easier to step up as the confident one.
Yeah. And I think to, like, if you're nervous, if you're a nervous shooter, because I have a lot of friends that will be like, I get nervous before every shoot. You know, sometimes those nerves are helpful. Like, sometimes that fear serves us, because I like to tell people, when you feel nervous like that, it means that it's important to you. But don't confuse nervous or anticipation or excitement with not knowing what you're doing. Those are two different things. So that confidence in knowing what you're doing needs to stay there.
That's a great distinction. Yeah. So, Jen, looking at your website and specifically your portfolio, it's stunning.
Thank you.
Beautiful women. I love the variety. I love how comfortable and at ease they look. And it seems like you have everything figured out. And like you've never struggled
I do.
With
no,
the
I'm
darn
kidding.
Thing.
Yeah, I do. You're right. I do.
Okay, next question then. No. And so if you'd be willing to share with us, what's something that you struggled with in the beginning as you got your business up and running?
I'll tell you this. I talk a lot about the four stages of learning. And actually, I just wrote a book and I put it in the book. And I don't know if you're familiar with the four stages of learning, but to give a quick synopsis, we go through these four stages, right? So in the beginning, anytime you're learning something new, the first stage, and I'm not going to give you the technical terms because it's all tongue twisting, but the first stage is basically what I call you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's the I suck at this, but I don't know that I do stage. And then you move into stage two, which is I suck at this. And, you know, now I know that I suck at it. So, you know, you suck at it and you still do. The third stage is I suck at this, but you really don't. You're starting to kind of get the hang of it, mm-hmm. but you're still hard on yourself. And then stage four is, okay, I kind of got the hang of this. So I would like to think I'm at stage four now, at least like technical wise. There's nothing that really scares me. There's no situation where I go, oh, I don't know how to handle this. I'm still learning and trying new things, but I have confidence in it. When I first started and I was in stage one and I didn't know what I didn't know, it was the best stage. Like, for me, that's like where amazing things happen, because there's no such thing as failure. You have no business, you have no portfolio, you have no name, and it's, you're just doing your thing and learning, and there's no pressure, and it's amazing. And you think you're amazing, even though you really suck. And it's that period of time between stage two and three, when you realize you suck and you're trying to get out of it, that is the hardest. And for me, I struggled with comparison a lot in that stage. Like comparing myself to other photographers and better photographers and beating myself up. Like, how come I can't get there? How come I can't get images that look like that? What's wrong with me? And honestly, it's a waste of time. You know, one of my favorite quotes is comparison is the thief of joy. And it takes away from the process when you're not enjoying the process, because the truth is none of us are good at photography in the first 5 minutes. We all need practice. I've been doing it for about 10 years and I still consider myself a newbie. I still have so much to learn. So, you know, just to have the patience in the process. And that's something that's come to me, I think, with age and experience, to know that, like, okay, maybe I suck at this, but I'm enjoying it right now. So that's cool, you know? Actually, I've just started painting. This is like a new thing that I'm teaching myself to do. And it's such a good reminder, because I just did a whole bunch of paintings and I thought about sharing them. And I was like, well, what if I'm really bad at this? And then I was like, well, I probably am really bad, but I don't know that I'm bad. So it's cool. You know, I'll just share it now. But it's like going through the process once, you can do it again and again with different things in your life and know where you're at. So that's kind of cool.
Well, I love that. I love the attitude you have about it, even having patience in the beginning, because especially with today with social media, I mean, it is so hard not to get caught up in the comparison game.
It's super hard. listen, I teach a lot of photography, and people will come to my workshops and I'll be like, I can give you everything on a silver platter. I can tell you how to light, I can tell you how to pose, I can tell you how to talk, I can tell you what lens to use, I can tell you where to shoot. I can do everything for you, but I cannot give you experience. The only way you're going to learn and put it all together and find your style and find your why and find your passion is by going out there and shooting as much as you possibly can. And, you know, I can't give that to people. And unless you're willing to put the work in, you're never going to get anywhere.
It's true. I'm always surprised when sometimes we'll have on the show a photographer where I look at their work and it's amazing and stunning. And they'll mention that they're looking at other people's work. And they think other, you know, people's work is so much better. And here I am looking up to this person. You know, it's all that to say, I think we're all struggling with it.
Yeah, it's what I call real versus real. So it's like real, R-E-A-L versus real, R-E-E-L. Mm. Like the, you know, what's real versus the highlight reel.
I like that.
Yeah, so, you know, we see highlight reels all day long, you know, but you didn't see for that one photo that they showed you. That's probably Photoshopped and, you know, put together and whatever, you know,
right.
You didn't see the 500 crappy pictures that they took.
You know, that's a good point. That is so true. So Jen, then I'm curious then, especially in the beginning, a lot of photographers struggle with finding clients. I think that's one of the, between clients, finding new clients and making sales, those are two things that new photographers really, really struggle with. Mm-hmm. And I know I certainly did when I first started. I've made about every mistake in the book, and I make no secret about that on the show. But what did you do to begin finding new clients and making that connection with people and finding the right clients?
I will tell you the number one thing I did that basically put me on the map for boudoir photography. Now, this is 10 years ago, so this is prior to a lot of social media, but, you know, so people could argue, well, it's different now, but it's different better now than it was back then, because there wasn't a lot of people on the, you know, social media and the internet in that way. Mm-hmm. I did what I called the cool girl principle. I was targeting brides at the time, and I found there was a chat board online, and it was for Long Island weddings. And what I did was I went to them and I said, I want to run a contest, and the winner will get a free boudoir shoot. And I knew, because I was familiar with the board, I knew that there were like a few girls on the board that if they talked about me, everybody else would want to do it too, because everything that they did, everybody wanted to do. They're the cool girls, you know, they're the they're what we call today influencers, but there was no word for them back then.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Basically, I targeted the influencers and I gave them free shoots. So we ran this contest, but I really didn't care who entered the contest. I knew who was going to win. I chose two influencers to win. And I have to tell you, in my first year of business, I think it was my first year, I booked about 125 clients from that board alone. And then the next year I booked close to 300. And that was just from running that contest. And then word of mouth from there. So the thing is that in 2018, like fast forward to 2018, where there's Facebook, Instagram, and all that other stuff that didn't exist back then, really, word of mouth and community are the most important things that you can be doing right now. Mm-hmm. And social media. And the biggest mistake that people make with social media is that they think they're putting things out there because they post once a day or once every other day, and you're not, you're just not. You need to like literally flood your social media with your message and your why and targeting your clients for anybody to even see it these days. So, you know, back then I was a bigger fish in a smaller pond. Now the pond is much bigger and, you know, there's a lot more fish in it. So you have to be louder and bolder and more true to your why. More true, you know, like I don't really market my boudoir specifically, but I market my women's empowerment. I market why somebody should do a shoot. I market myself as far as the struggles that I go through. And you really sort of need to become your own personal brand versus marketing your photography.
I love it. And that's really the thing that sets us apart is who we are as individuals. And, you know, it's so great that you mentioned word of mouth and community. I think a lot of photographers kind of struggle with overwhelm. Because you don't know where to start. Well, you know, one thing that Scott Bourne has often said is that you should own your own zip code. Your local community is a great, great place to start. And people will want to do business with you when they know that you care. And as far as getting word of mouth out there and being involved with your community, that comes in a lot of different forms. I mean, for me, when I moved to a new town, it was as simple as showing up at networking meetings.
Right.
And it sounds, I don't know, maybe cliche or not original, but it's true. I mean, and even with the Chamber of Commerce, there were plenty of photographers who belonged, but I was the only one that showed up to meetings, and people know your face.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, we have to remember we need to start connecting in person also. It's not just online stuff. Like, get your butt out there, meet people, talk to people. You know, everything that you do comes back. Listen, I am, one of the things I added to my resume this year is a writer. So I've always wanted to be a writer, and I'm really bad at it, but thank God for editors. So, so I've decided this year, I was approached by, a local hospital medical system called Northwell Health. And they asked me to do some writing about my cancer journey, 'cause I had breast cancer this last year. For anybody who doesn't know, I just dropped that bomb. Like, okay. So I had breast cancer. And so they asked me to write, about that journey and, you know, share the photos that I've taken and the whole thing. And, you know, immediately a person will say, well, does that help my business? You know, like, if I'm going to put time into that, I mean, they paid me for it, but, you know, does that work towards my business or away from my business? You know, like, I always try to make decisions that way. I decided to do it because I thought it was really important. And I decided, you know what, this works for my business because I'm reaching more women. And that's what I want to do in my life. That's what my business is about. And sure enough, I get things all the time. I get inquiries all the time. I saw you on Northwell Health. I'm interested in a photo shoot. And so I'm connecting in a different way with people, but it's resonating with them still because the message is still there. The message is still about shamelessly feminine. Mm-hmm. And so they're coming to me for inquiries on my photography. So, you know, there's like more than one way to skin a cat. And I think everybody likes to put all their seeds in one basket. Like, oh, I took out Facebook ads. I'm like, Facebook ads don't, I think in this scenario, are not really the way to go. I think that you really need to form connections with people and figure out where your audience is and find them.
So let's dig into that a little bit, because I can't let you just mention breast cancer and then we move on to the next subject.
Moving on. Right?
I mean, let's talk about vulnerability. So as you were going through that, then were you nervous about being so transparent with your journey, with your struggle? Did you worry about how people would see you?
No, because I'll tell you why. I don't give a crap. No, I'm kidding.
Perfect reason.
Yeah, cancer takes away a lot of the cares. So yes and no. Let me put it that way. Yes and no. I knew immediately when I was diagnosed that I had to go public with it because my whole goal in life is to help women live the biggest life possible. And then how can I do that and be hiding a secret like breast cancer? Now, it would have been easy for me to just say, hey, guys, I have breast cancer and I'm having surgery and I'm going through chemotherapy and just do it on my own accord and then like hide and then come back out 9 months later and go, okay, I'm done. I've seen actresses do that and I've seen, you know, other famous people do that. But I thought that it would be doing a disservice to the whole process if I did that. So I decided that I was going to be very public about it. And when I say public about it, I mean Facebook videos, YouTube videos, photos. I've shown pictures of my bare chest multiple times. And for anybody that doesn't know, I did have a double mastectomy and reconstruction surgery. So the pictures are intense and I shared those. And I don't know how to explain it. I just felt it was a calling to do so because it gave cancer a purpose. And without purpose, it's just disease. And nobody just wants to have disease. Everybody wants purpose. So I was able to do that. What I was afraid of was that I was going to lose my business. And I think even more so, I was afraid if I didn't say something, I was going to lose my business. Because in our industry, you can't just disappear for 9 months and then reappear and people are still there. Yeah. This is like a constant business building, right? Every day we're marketing ourselves. So if I just hid, that wouldn't have served anybody. So by showing my real life, and listen, I worked through all of this. So I would show like, hey guys, I'm here. I'm shooting today. You know, I feel like crap, but you know, I'm still here and I'm working and I'm doing what I love. Or here I'm shooting a woman today who had breast cancer and she had to go flat and we're sharing stories and I'm embracing that. Or, you know, even my journey as being a boudoir photographer that doesn't have boobs. I mean, that's like in itself, that's a whole book right there, I think, you know? So, I was nervous I was going to lose my business. And I went on Facebook and I said, I'm really scared of losing my business. I'm really scared that because I'm a solopreneur for the most part. I have a few people that work for me here and there, but I'm mostly a solopreneur. And I'm really afraid that nobody's going to book me because I have cancer and that my sponsors are going to stop supporting me because I can't show up to teaching events right now. And I'm terrified that you're all going to leave me. That's my biggest fear right now. And you know what that did? That made them show up exponentially. And it was the truth. And I could cry just talking about it right now. It was the truth. I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I've worked all these years to build something that cancer is going to take away from me. And not only did it not take it away from me, but my business has changed so much this past year. I'm sure part of that is because my mindset has also changed. But I have to tell you, people showed up. Companies like Westcott, Nikon, I mean, they showed up. They were like, yes, what can we do to support you? What, we're here for you. I mean, like 9 days after I finished chemo, I was on the stage at CES speaking for Nikon. And I said to Nikon, you know, I want to say yes to this speaking arrangement because it's like a huge honor, but I'm finishing chemo 9 days before. Like, I don't know if I can go to Vegas. And they were like, we are holding the space for you and you can decide up to 5 minutes before. You know, things like that. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's things like that that are like, wow, okay, I guess I'll, you know, that's awesome. So it's just, they showed up and clients showed up. Clients who were like, I always thought about doing a shoot. I wasn't sure. And then I saw you announce your breast cancer and I knew I had to support you and it was the time. I got called to it, you know, or other breast cancer survivors that have come to me since then for shoots because they trust me. And I appreciate it because I was very nervous about shooting again and seeing women that were whole and having boob envy and how I was going to handle all of that. And it's something I'm still working through because I think that when you have cancer, it's a very physical process. And although it is emotional, it's not as emotional as you think. The emotions don't really hit until the treatment process is over, at least in my situation. So when treatment's over, all of a sudden you go, what the hell just happened to me? You know, now I have to deal with this emotionally. So the healing is still happening. And that was a really long answer. I'm sorry about that. But that's...
No, that was fantastic. I mean, hats off to you for even having the courage to be transparent and vulnerable through that journey.
Thanks. And I'm not done because I decided that I'm going to be making some more videos and putting them on my YouTube channel because funny enough, I've really dedicated myself to a lot of YouTube this year and my photography videos don't get anywhere near as much as my, you know, interaction and engagement as my breast cancer videos do. And so I've decided that I'm going to do a lot more breast cancer videos on there. And part of that is, you know, I discuss a lot of things that you might consider minuscule but are huge to somebody that's gone through cancer, like things like stupid things people say to you. Or like, I'll give you an example. If there was a period of time where everybody was sending me this link of like, if you suck on frozen lemons, it helps cure cancer. It's stronger than chemotherapy.
Wow.
You know, like I must have gotten 10 a day.
And I'm sure that's what you needed at that time,
it's
right?
It's so frustrating because it's like, here's the thing. They send it to you because they love you and they feel like, well, if I saw this and it's true and I didn't send it to her, I'm going to be an idiot. So let me send it to her and let her decide what to do with it. You know?
Right.
So I know it comes from a place of love, but my answer to them always was, if it was that simple, nobody would have cancer. And it's frustrating because I, you know, you want to say to people, please, if I thought I could just suck on lemons, I'd be sucking on lemons. Like, you know, give me a break here. Like, I, you know, I'm putting myself through torture to try to get this out of my body. This is not what I need right now. Or the new dumb question I'm getting is, you're all better now, right? You're all healed. And I don't know how to explain to people that I'll never be better. Like, I'm better as a person, but I'm better as in my health is better.
Yeah.
But I still have a lot of things I'm working through, a lot of PTSD, which is, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of doctor's appointments still a lot of pain. I have to first start physical therapy now. I'm having problems with my medication. You know, I'm not being treated anymore in that I'm not undergoing chemotherapy, but I'm on medication for the next 10 years. I still see a doctor at this point. I mean, I went to like 5 doctors this month already, you know, it's, you're never really done. And these are things that people just don't know, you know, like I didn't know before I had cancer. I thought it was like, okay, you're done, right? You're done.
Right.
So just addressing things and teaching people like, this is what you need to know. And so you can be a better friend, a better mom, a better spouse, a better daughter to somebody that has cancer. This is how you can show up for them. And this is the processes that they're going through. And this is what they're thinking that they don't want to tell you. Because the other thing is that cancer is a very lonely process. Because what happens is, I mean, I had so much support, but I don't want to upset people, right? Like, I don't want, if I'm having a bad day, I don't want to upset my mother. I don't want to upset my husband. They're already going through their own things with this and their own emotions and their own journey. So I don't want to upset them. So what happens is I end up not telling them. And then they do the same thing. They don't tell me that they're upset. And so you start kind of drifting apart and it becomes sort of like an unspoken, like nobody wants to talk about it. You're just going through the ropes and going through the motions and all of a sudden you feel very lonely, you know? And at the end of the day, you can have support, but you are the only person on that table, you know, on that doctor's table. So you have to find a strength within. And I know I'm rambling a little bit about it, but anyway, this is what I'm dealing with as far as the YouTube channel is concerned and the videos that I'm making. And here's the thing about it. And you might be listening to this and thinking, well, I don't have cancer, so this doesn't apply to me. But that's not true, because we all have something that we're going through that we're dealing with, either alone or with support. But life is really hard. It's really, really hard. And we're disconnected as human beings, and we need to connect more. And I think that by being open about this, it's connecting me to more people. It's making me feel more love. It's an exchange of energy in that way. It's healing me. It's healing other people. I can't tell you how many messages I get from people. Like, I watch your videos. Thank you. You're saying everything that I'm thinking. But people are afraid to say it, and I'm not. So I'm just going to take on that role and do it and see where it leads me.
Oh, that's like a drop the mic moment right there. Wow. Wow. That's priceless. I mean, even beyond photography. I mean, don't get me wrong. Photography's great.
Right.
You know, it's a photography podcast, but this is life.
Yeah. It's all related, you know, like photography is life. Isn't this what we're doing? We're capturing life. We're capturing emotions. We're capturing experiences. Like, this is why it pisses me off when people pick up a camera and they're just like, click, 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 click. I'm like, slow it down. You know, like, what are you even doing right now? Like, right. It doesn't mean anything to you if you're just rapid firing. Like, make it mean something to you. And yeah, like, we all want memories and we want to savor every minute, but photography, even in the digital age, is still special. And I think if we all treated it that way, other people would see it too. We would all stop complaining about how cheap our clients are, right? Because we wouldn't be so irreplaceable by cell phones, you know? It's just, you know, or replaceable by cell phones, you know what I mean? It is life. And that's why, like, when people ask me that question about, you know, you're so brave to share, or what made you share, I'm like, I don't get it. Because, like, I've been sharing since the beginning. This is just happens to be something much bigger, you know, that and is much heavier. But there are so many lessons I've learned from cancer, and I really believe it's happening for me and not to me. And I have to make the most of that.
I love it. Oh, well, and this makes my next question sound so surface level, but, oh, and before we go on, I do have to say, you know, you are such an inspiration. And, you know, as you were describing the way that you share and how it relates to life and business, and it all comes back to photography, you never know what someone's gone through. And even the clients that we shoot with, I was shooting a business portrait session with a husband and a wife couple, the sweetest people. And partway through the session, the wife mentioned that she had lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
And that she was happy with her appearance, but also in some ways a little less confident than she should be because of the way skin was hanging. And I would never have even thought of that. And that, I mean, there's a whole other issue right there where, you know, the process of losing weight and the way you see your body and the struggles that you go through, and the mindset too, it's such a mental struggle. And it gave me such an appreciation of making sure to really, and I thought I had taken adequate time to get to know the couple and we were comfortable, but it made me that much more aware that every single client's going through something.
Yeah. And you know, this is, I have this expression, shed your clothes, shed your inhibitions, right? So if you and I met and you didn't know me and you didn't know anything about me, you would not think anything because I have a reconstructed chest. So you would never know that I had breast cancer and that I had my breasts removed. you would never know. But if I took off my shirt, you would, because you would see the scars and you would see, you know, the implants and the whole thing. There's something about like clothes and makeup. And I love, by the way, I love clothes and makeup. Like shopping is like, I love it. It's so girly and I love all that stuff. But at the same time, it's a mask. And this is what I'm trying to do with my boudoir, is like, in a way, remove that mask. And I tell people all the time in my videos for cancer too, like, be nice to people, because you do not know what they're going through. You know, you can, I was walking through the city, I remember, like a week after my mastectomy, and I was so nervous that somebody was going to bang into me that I put my arms up and I was like elbowing people as I was going, you know, down the street. And just to keep them away from my chest. And I remember thinking, every single one of those people probably thinks I'm like the biggest, you know what, you know, but I was protecting myself and it was what I needed to do in the moment. And I think we all go through life with elbows up sometimes. And it's very easy to say, oh, she's so mean today, or she's in such a bad mood, or what's her problem, or whatever. You don't know what's going on with people, because we hide behind these masks. And, you know, just to have some sympathy for people, you know, even the other day I was at a stop sign and somebody like went around me and blew the stop sign. And my daughter was like, ew, you know, that's obnoxious. And I was like, you know what? You have no idea. Maybe there's an emergency. Maybe his wife is in labor in the car. Like, you don't know what's going on,
that's
you know,
true, yeah.
Always kind of give the benefit of the doubt and just be kind to people, because, you know, you'll never know. You never know what's going on with people.
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. I don't want to wrap this interview up. Oh, oh my goodness. Okay, so.
You can call me anytime.
I may have to.
You can call me anytime.
I have all this emotion within me, and now I have to form words and sentences somehow. So is there a particular photography resource, tool, a book, anything that you want to recommend to our listeners to help them with their business or their life?
Okay, so my favorite book, if you're a newer photographer out there and you're listening to this and you really have a passion for photography, my favorite book that I recommend to every newer photographer is Understanding Exposure by Brian Peterson. It's fourth edition now, I think. It's like the number, it's like a photography Bible. You need to have it if you're trying to learn photography or step up your skills. I absolutely love that. I love Creative Live. I think it's an amazing resource for photographers to learn from. I listen to a lot of business books and read a lot of business books. And two of my favorites are You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. I love that book if you need a little kick in the butt. And I love Gary Vee. He's an awesome motivator.
Yes, he is.
So that would be me pimping everybody else's stuff. those are some of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to ask you about your stuff, because you are up to a lot and you have a new podcast, correct?
I do. Yay. All right. So if you're a photographer and you want more information about my learning and my products and my freebies and everything about me, you can go to jenrosenbaum.com. That's with a Z, R-O-Z-E-N-B-A-U-M. So jenrosenbaum.com. If you are, I want to say a woman, but you don't have to just be a woman. Some men listen to my podcast too. But I have a website, shamelesslyfeminine.com. That's where all the work will be, empowering women without my camera. You can get to my podcast from there, or hopefully we'll be on iTunes any minute now. I've been having a little technical difficulty, but we're also on Spotify and Stitcher. And so you can find me there. And the podcast is called Shamelessly Feminine. It's the podcast for the kick-ass woman who needs a kick in the ass. And I will also be writing a book. Well, the book is written. It will be coming out in January. It's called Shamelessly Feminine for the kick-ass woman that needs a kick in the ass. And that book will cover a lot of different topics about, it's really geared towards the woman entrepreneur. And it's really meant to talk about things such as fear and shame and flipping the script on all of that, and living your biggest life and building your business and imposter syndrome, like all the different things that I've experienced, and sort of the theme of adversity is your business's best friend, and how to take crappy situations and turn it into something amazing.
I love it.
And you could find me on Instagram and all that at Shamelessly Feminine and Jen Rosenbaum. You know, if you look up Shamelessly Feminine or Jen Rosenbaum, pretty much anywhere you'll find me.
Perfect. And we'll make sure to include those in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
For people to check those out. Well, thank you, Jen. This has been amazing. And that's an understatement. Oh. You are so inspiring. We really appreciate you just chatting and chilling with us.
Thank you for having me. I love your energy and you're amazing.
Oh, thank you. If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.